Morning, early birds. You've caught the Worm A podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. A bison goring in Yellowstone National Park. Montana sees record-breaking single-day totals for positive COVID-19 tests and how the pandemic expanded telehealth access. It's Tuesday, June 30th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. A bison in Yellowstone National Park gored a 72-year-old woman Thursday evening. Rachel Kramer reports.
The woman from California approached the bison multiple times to take its photo at Bridge Bay Campground. A press release from the park Monday said she was within 10 feet of the animal when it gored her. Rangers provided immediate medical care for several wounds before she was flown by helicopter to the Eastern Idaho Regional Medical Center. The incident is under investigation. Yellowstone senior bison biologist Chris Jeremiah said people should keep at least a 25-yard distance from bison and move away if they approach or display aggressive behaviors like pawing the ground, snorting, bobbing their head, bellowing, or raising their tail. In May, another park visitor was knocked to the ground after getting too close to a bison near Old Faithful Geyser. Last July, a bison charged a 9-year-old girl and tossed her in the air. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
Montana has confirmed another 90 COVID-19 cases in test results reported from Saturday through Monday, bringing the total number of known cases to over 900. Officials continue to urge caution with large gatherings. Montana announced 23 new cases on Saturday, 11 on Sunday, and a one-day record of 56 cases reported yesterday. The state health department said the cases announced Monday were connected to several recent weddings. Gallatin County health officials say they are seeing cases tied to crowded places like bars, restaurants, and parties, and urge residents to take the virus seriously. Nearly 300 people in the state are known to be currently infected, and 13 are hospitalized. Over the weekend, Montana saw its biggest spike yet in COVID-19 cases. Caitlin Nicholas reports on how the disease is impacting Native Americans across the state.
As of Monday morning, more than 900 people in Montana have had confirmed cases of COVID-19. Native Americans account for 13% of the cases, even though they make up less than 7% of the state's population. Jim Murphy is with the Montana Department of Health and Human Services.
American Indian populations throughout the whole state are not being disproportionately impacted. What we have is a localized outbreak in one area of the state, that's the Crow Reservation Bighorn area. They are being disproportionately impacted.
Aaron Wernham, CEO of the nonprofit Montana Healthcare Foundation, says Native families are more susceptible to COVID-19 because multiple generations of a family often live in the same home.
So you've got elders who are particularly vulnerable to getting severe COVID infections, living with a large family with younger people who may be out and about more.
He says the exact impact of the pandemic on Indigenous people is difficult to track. Not only because of inconsistent reporting, but also because so many agencies work together to serve the tribes.
So you've got a mix of Indian Health Service, which is the federal agency that provides a lot of health services, private hospitals, and then the county government health agencies, which are doing a lot of the data collection along with the tribal health departments. So that's a very complicated health system, and so coordination is incredibly important.
Across the state, tribal nations have taken measures to protect their members and reservations. The Crow tribe extended their stay-home order until July 15th, and the Northern Cheyenne extended their shutdown until July 10th. This weekend, the Blackfeet Nation announced a new 14-day stay-home order. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Caitlin Nicholas.
Caitlin Nicholas is Yellowstone Public Radio's Report for America Tribal Affairs reporter. The Blackfeet Indian Reservation is now under a mandatory 14-day stay-at-home order. Over the weekend, Blackfeet and Glacier County officials say they identified the first 9 confirmed cases of COVID-19 among reservation residents. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports.
Tribal and county officials say all 9 people who tested positive have been quarantined and close contacts notified. The Blackfeet Tribal Business Council implemented a mandatory 14-day stay-at-home order Saturday, saying there's the potential the disease is community spread on the reservation. The council is also calling for a halt of all social gatherings, including recently reopened restaurants, campgrounds, and other group events for local residents. This follows tribal leaders' decision last week to close roads on reservation land leading to the east entrances of Glacier National Park for the remainder of the summer tourism season. Tribe officials said the move is to protect vulnerable residents. The Glacier County Health Department says there are now 12 active cases in the county, including the 9 on reservation. Most of the state continues on with phase 2 of Governor Steve Bullock's reopening plan. The state announced 56 new COVID-19 cases Monday, the largest single-day spike since the pandemic reached the state. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
Yesterday, Montana reported a total of 919 confirmed COVID-19 cases, including 56 new cases since Sunday. That's the biggest one-day spike since the pandemic started in March. This has prompted some Montana hospitals to tighten visitor guidelines. Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien reports.
Providence, Montana is reverting to a no-visitor policy for inpatients at St. Patrick Hospital in Missoula and St. Joseph Medical Center in Polson. The change takes effect Wednesday, July 1st. Dr. James McKay is Providence's chief physician executive. McKay says the state's growing COVID-19 caseload, combined with evidence of community spread in Missoula and Lake counties, is cause for concern.
The virus is now spreading, and also we're having folks come in from out of state now. So those things are adding up to make it look like this summer and maybe this fall is when we're going to get more of our surge. Now, hopefully, you know, it won't be anything like they've experienced in some of the larger, densely populated metropolitan areas, but it's certainly something that we need to be ready for.
McKay says hospital caregiver and patient protection takes priority at this critical juncture.
What we want to make sure is that we have the beds and the caregivers here available when they need us. And we think by instituting this visitor policy, we can help ensure that that will happen.
Missoula's Community Medical Center is also now reverting to a no-inpatient visitor policy Wednesday. Community and Providence offer exemptions for maternity and end-of-life care. Contact those facilities for details. Kalispell Regional Healthcare, meanwhile, is currently enforcing a limited visitor policy. That means inpatient visitors are limited to no more than 2 designated visitors, 1 at a time. Hospital officials say they're monitoring conditions and will adjust visitation guidelines as necessary. St. Vincent Healthcare in Billings allows only 1 visitor per patient. All are screened upon entry and masks are required for all visitors. Edward O'Brien, Montana Public Radio.
After the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention began advising against face-to-face interactions, Montana healthcare providers sought to expand non-emergency telehealth appointments. And that's a trend that could keep going. This story is part of a series that looks at potentially lasting ways Montana adapted during the pandemic. It's funded in part by the Solutions Journalism Network. Sophia Stewart Rossi reports.
When a place driven by healthcare appointments abruptly shuts down, ideas to go remote have to become reality fast. On March 18th, Governor Steve Bullock released a directive to expand access to telehealth services in order to slow the spread of COVID-19.
We didn't have weeks or months. We had to stop providing in-person services, so we found a way to do this in days.
DeShane Barnett is the executive director of All Nations Health Center, an urban Indian health services center that provides for natives and non-natives in Missoula and Ravalli County. And when Bullock put Montana in a state of emergency mid-March, All Nations had to completely set up the clinic virtually in 3 days. Due in part to having only 2 exam rooms, Barnett says his clinic has actually been able to provide more for patients since COVID-19.
I now have the option to hire additional providers from their home and let them provide services via telehealth so that I can actually increase the number of patients I can see and not be constrained by my physical environment.
Telehealth is an umbrella term for when healthcare providers take care of their patients virtually by video or phone. And for a large rural state like Montana, telehealth isn't novel. In 2013, Montana joined fewer than half the states with a parity law that requires telehealth services be similarly reimbursed as in-person in-person services. And the governor shored that up with another directive in April. This one allows for expedited registration of licensed out-of-state providers to practice in Montana. Dr. Michael Temporal is a family medicine physician at the Billings Clinic. He's been practicing and supporting telehealth for decades.
If you had to find any golden lining to this pandemic, is that it forced us to get creative and showed proof of concept that there's other ways of conducting healthcare short of you and me being in the office together.
Since COVID-19, half of Temporal's day is spent doing telehealth appointments. He says it expanded in large part because insurers, including Medicaid, took a more relaxed approach to reimbursing this kind of care, which makes sense in Montana, he says.
You can imagine if having to drive 300 miles for someone to look at a wound and say, oh, you're doing great, and then go home. There's a lot of opportunity to use and continue to use virtual care.
And in order to keep supporting telehealth post-pandemic, Temporal says payment systems will need to make their adjustments more permanent. Reliable internet connections across the state would also help, he says. More and more people are figuring out face-to-face interactions aren't always necessary, even if they're more personal. That's also true with agencies that do mental health and social work. Brittany Challoner is a therapist for Aware, Inc., a nonprofit for people with disabilities and their families across Montana. Part of her job is working with kids enrolled in the early intervention program Head Start.
Today, I'm going to read something called Gorilla Thumps and Bear Hugs. And this is about something called tapping. It's a way of calming down and relaxing your body, especially when you're overwhelmed with all sorts of thoughts that are not feeling the greatest.
Challoner started creating video therapy session patients can watch anytime and anywhere with internet access. It's proven to be helpful for children with disabilities as they continue learning without being in a classroom. Trista Venata is also a counselor for Aware. She primarily focuses on infant therapy. Venata supports and practices telehealth, but says it's not the same as being in a room with caregivers and their babies.
We cannot replicate via telehealth. However, if used as a supplemental service, I think some really great things could happen.
The governor's telehealth directives will end when Montana officially exits a state of emergency. But U.S. Senators Steve Daines and John Tester are among 30 senators who signed a letter June 15th to Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. In it, they asked that telehealth provisions in the coronavirus-related legislation be made permanent. With Yellowstone Public Radio News and the Solutions Journalism Network, I'm Sophia Stewart Rossi.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.